And welcome back in to GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood coming to you from the GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta, Georgia. On the morning blitz, and it's time for a little thing that, of course, Inside the Numbers started out as strictly a once-a-week show last year, or actually 2 years ago, started out as a once-a-week show. And most always have Mike Bernard from OTM Sports based out in Las Vegas on with us. He started coming on last year doing some special Thursday stuff and midweek games, that type thing. And so this year we've just been able to kind of corral him up and have him a couple of three times during the week, and it's always great to have him. So this is an abbreviated Thursday version of Inside the Numbers, and this segment is also brought to you by State Farm Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Property, and many other products to make your life go right. Call or visit your local State Farm agent to find out how State Farm can help you. In the Birmingham, Alabama market, contact Larry McIntosh at 205-663-3119. Located at 2685 Pelham Parkway, Larry and his staff are ready to serve you and your family. Contact Larry today at 205-663-3119 and get State Farm on your team. State Farm Insurance, here to help life go right. And so without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Mike Bernard from OTM Sports. Mike, they're examining reports up in Washington, D.C. this morning, secret reports. And we're going to bring out some secret reports here and talk about some games tonight.
You're not going to put me on the stand, are you?
Yes, this is all under oath, my friend, with felony penalty, as they keep saying, out of Washington.
Okay, well, in that case, I'd have to take the fifth. But no, on a serious note, I do enjoy coming on Inside the Numbers because all week I'm looking at point spreads. Of course, I go into that for our listeners as well. But I'm looking at point spreads, injury reports, and it's nice to get on here and talk about sports from an aspect that doesn't necessarily have to be related to the point spread and wagering.
Right, because, you know, from a coach's standpoint, of obviously I'm the more that I've been associated with you the last several years through the radio show, I've learned so much about point spread. I mean, I always knew what the point spread was as far as, you know, if they're giving points or what have you. But again, coaching, that never enters into any equation for you. But what has really been interesting for me is learning from you, and obviously I know about 1% of what you know, and probably have retained about 1% of what you taught me. But the thing about it is the different factors that, you know, affect the point spread. Because I always used to just think that if a team was a 7-point favorite, they were just going to be a 7-point favorite. But, you know, you've taught me that the line moves based upon where the money is and that type stuff. So I have learned a lot from you, my friend.
Well, and I've learned a lot from you and I going over games. Quickly on the point spread, just for our listeners, so people ask me all the time, hey, what's the line? Well, I'm not a smart aleck and tell them that this way, but there's no such thing as the line. There's not a universal line because it's always fluid. And as you said, it's going to be determined. The final point spread is going to be based on where the money goes and where the casinos need action on the other side to balance their books. And on another note, I have, and he will be unnamed, but a former big-time college basketball coach and I were playing golf, and we were discussing the different things. He's retired now, and I was not playing golf with him when he was coaching, just to be clear. And he brought up to me, he said, you know, he got to a point where he would look up back in that day, the USA Today, and look at the point spread, and he would really look at the line on a less, like a mid-major team they were playing, and he would see that, hey, we're favored by 3 points, and he was like, oh crap, we're going to lose. And he was right. That's the mentality you have to have. If you're a power school and you're playing a mid-major and you're only laying a couple of points, chances are you don't have the better team.
All right, let's get right into the games tonight. We've got the Colts and the Patriots. Of course, it's the Thursday night NFL game. 8:20 kickoff right there, and I believe it's on the NFL Network, but I think it's also on Fox, too, if I'm mm-hmm. correct.
It is.
Last week, in week four, the Pats got their record even to 2-2. They beat the undefeated, or then undefeated, Miami Dolphins 38-7. But they're still a game back of Miami in the AFC North. But, of course, given their history, I'm not really worried about the Patriots. And as long as the number 12 suits up, they'll be there in the end. The Colts, they were down 18 to Houston last Sunday, made a comeback to get the game into overtime, but was on the losing end of a 37-34 game, which had a questionable coaching call, to say the least, toward the end of overtime. We won't get into that because I think you say it all when you say that Indianapolis is now tied for last place in the AFC South. I think that's really all you need to say about the Colts.
Yeah, and they've been decimated with injuries even after last week's game. But that Patriots win over Miami, it was crucial. I know it's early in the season, but if they were to lose that one, they would have been three games behind the Dolphins. And the Patriots are going for their 10th straight AFC East title. The Colts, their opponent coming into Foxborough, they have Andrew Luck back, but they do not look like a playoff contender. They're going to be without T.Y. Hilton, six other key players. And the Colts' run game is simply not up to par. The only game they eclipsed the 100-yard mark was their lone win when they won at Washington in week two.
You know, and the run game. A lot of people don't understand just how delicate a balance it is, especially in the NFL. Not so much in the college game, although it's kind of becoming more that way, but especially in the NFL game. Your quarterback is such a crucial position as far as being able to balance your offense. And for many, many years, the Colts were spoiled with Peyton Manning because his ability to throw the ball, to check out a certain plays, to get the ball into the hands of the right receiver at the right time, it was just uncanny. And the Colts thought that with Andrew Luck, that they thought they would get him. He's just going to pick up where Manning left off because, Manning suffered that neck injury, and the 2011 season, was really considered the lost season because he didn't play at all. The Andrew Luck comes in, and they did not get to the Super Bowl or anything, but they had three straight seasons of 11-5, and then the injuries started. 15-16, they were 8-8. 17, they were 4-12. Of course, he didn't, he was a non-factor last year.
Right.
So, you have to realize that the success of the running game is not necessarily, we don't have good running backs, we don't have a good offensive line. The success of the running game in the NFL largely is dependent upon the quarterback keeping the defense from being able to stack the box. And the Colts have not been able to do that without Andrew Luck in the game. And right now, they're having trouble doing it for a number of reasons.
They are. And to be fair, and look, I'm not saying that Andrew Luck is on par with Peyton Manning at any point in his career, but Andrew Luck can play. No one can argue that. But look at the running backs that Peyton had. He had Marshall Faulk. Mm-hmm. He had Edgerrin James. He also had what was the other kid from LSU? Big strong. 29. He escapes me now. But look, they had solid running backs. Well, now, not to slight the current running backs and the running backs the last few years, but they've basically been retreads. And you have Frank Gore, but I mean the guy's 40 years old almost.
Mm-hmm. And what they've done is they thought that they would just scorch the land and rebuild the team from the ground up. And it has really cost them. And regardless of the reason why, they are where they are, and they've still got to face the Patriots tonight. And the Patriots, like a lot of teams, they've owned the coach for quite a while now.
Yeah, they really have. And, you know, they've beaten the Colts seven straight times. Now, they haven't played since 2015, but they've beaten them seven straight. They covered five of those seven, so that means they overperformed against the Vegas point spread. And speaking of the point spread, even despite the fact that the Patriots play with inflated point spreads almost every week, they're still the best covering team in the league. This particular series, again, they haven't played since 15, but the series favors offenses and it favors points. Seven of the last eight meetings have been high scoring, and seven of the eight went over the total.
Right, and you know, and going back to my comment about that they've owned the coach for quite a while, and we need to clarify too, as you just did though, that, you know, they own the Colts back when the Colts were good. You know, they haven't made a living off the Colts when they've been going 8-8 and 4-12. They were beating the Colts back when the Colts were winning 11, 12, 13 games a year.
Right. And if I recall, I can't remember the exact year, but the Colts had another dry spell back in the Manning days when they had to their one win against the Patriots in the playoffs. I believe they were down 21-3 and came back and won. And that was, oh, I know what year it was. It was the year they won it. So that would have been 06. And they came back from 18 or 21 points down to beat the Patriots. But other than that game, to that point, they were really owned by the Patriots.
All right, Mike, we got a couple of, small, let me rephrase that. We've got a couple of non-Power 5 games going on also tonight on the college level. Georgia State, they take the short drive from right here on the south side of Atlanta down to Troy. The Georgia State Panthers come out. Aren't they the Panthers?
They are.
Okay. I was going to say that's awful. They're right here in my backyard, and I'm not sure of their mascot. But the Panthers – 2-3, go take on the Trojans. 4-1, of course, the Trojans alone lost to Boise State, but they got a big win on the road at Nebraska. But again, a lot of folks are saying right now, well, you know, that Nebraska win doesn't look quite that impressive.
Well, hey,
and that was said tongue in cheek, obviously.
Right. Well, and some people wanted to say the same thing about their win in Baton Rouge last year. Look, the Sun Belt teams and even the American, and that we're going to talk about an American game briefly that plays tonight too. It's all the Big Ten, SEC fan, Big Ten fan, and Big 12 fan, they just automatically dismiss those other conferences. And a lot of times, they haven't even seen a team play from that conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of you, and again, I've been at that level before where, you know, you were the underdog, and for, you know, for the course of my career, you know, to paraphrase, I've been to the mountaintop and I've been in the valley. I've been in the penthouse and I've been in the Days Inn. And you have very good football players at that level. You may not have quite as many as the Power Five conferences or what have you. But, you know, day in and day out, you know, once or twice a year, you can line up and play with just about anybody in the country, you know, if you're a good football program. What, and we talk about this all the time, even in the in top 10 matchups, you know, depth is a huge thing. And that's the biggest difference between the Power 5 schools and the non-Power 5 schools. They just don't have the depth.
That's right. And that's why you see the smaller schools or the smaller conferences win games in September to maybe mid-October, and that's for the Power Five teams that will agree to play them. That's I mean, how do you think Virginia Tech feels about that decision to go to Old Dominion and play them, you know, the intrastate, you know, the in-state school, the little brother versus big brother? That's their loss. And look, it's not like Old Dominion is a very good team, because I believe they're 1-4.
Right.
So that's just another case. That's why Alabama and Auburn aren't going to go to Troy, because Missouri and Oklahoma State did it. And then and beat them. And Troy goes to LSU and beats them. They go to Lincoln and beat Nebraska. There's nothing to gain. So these bigger schools, they don't want to play these teams because you're right. The first month or so of the season, their first 22 is almost as good, and they're more hungry than the Power Five schools.
And nobody can deny the success that the Trojans have had since going to Division One. And from what you've told me in the past, Las Vegas is trying to love up on the Trojans, and but the Trojans just won't cooperate all the time.
Well, they've been up and down. They don't cover the point spread consistently, but they have covered seven of their last eight home games. But they've covered seven of the last eight games overall, but they've only covered two of their last 10 home games. They've failed to cover the last four times they played in a spotlight game on a Thursday night. So, again, they're up and down. Basically, when Troy plays a big name, you want to play them. Now, of course, they didn't cover against Boise, but in the other games, they cover quite often. Georgia State, their opponent, they're also not a good spread team. They've failed to cover four straight road games.
All right, Tulsa 1-3 at Houston 3-1. Houston has pretty good facilities for a non-Power Five school. They built a new stadium, constructed when Kevin Sumlin was there. Right there, he kind of transitioned them into that new stadium and some of the success that he had. And really nice facilities, and they used to be awful. And I think now they've got their program back on track again at 3-1. Tulsa struggling at 1-3. They just haven't been quite the same in a long, long time. There was a time where Tulsa was pretty competitive, but the last few years they've just fallen on hard times.
Yeah, and they're struggling straight up. But when they go on the road, they're really tough against the number. They've covered 16 of their last 22 road games. Houston, they're a tough team to gauge. They perform well in primetime games, but not against Tulsa. Now, last year, Coach, Tulsa laid it to Houston. I believe they won 45-17, something like that. I don't have it in front of me. And Tulsa scored 14 points in the last 30 or so seconds of the game, including a run, and the Houston fans, at least the coaches and players, haven't said a lot, but the Houston fans at least thought they were running up the score.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to take the Trojans of Troy in their game versus Georgia State, and I like the Cougars of Houston over the Golden Hurricane of Tulsa because there are no oceans in Tulsa, so that's a bad mascot no matter what. All right, Mike, well, we're going to let you go and get back to your busy day, and then we will talk with you again tomorrow. We'll preview the Friday night game. That's Georgia Tech and Louisville, and then all of the big college games and some NFL games from Sunday.
Look forward to it. Talk to you Friday morning.
Mike Bernardo, TM Sports, based out of Las Vegas, here with us on Inside the Numbers. Listening to the Morning Blitz, sponsored by Firehouse Subs.